You're going to wake up tomorrow with hairy ears and itchy ankles, so just get used to it. Your eyebrows are going to be unruly and unkempt, and you're going to be able to use them for a comb over in a couple months. It's just all downhill from
really picking from this point forward. Sorry. Hold on. Doc.
Why?
Yeah, that's better. Okay.
Excuse me.
Okay. I'm here. Are you here?
Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
It's me, Margaret.
Yeah.
He's looking at me like he has no idea.
I've got nothing.
It's a book.
You haven't heard the book or the movie?
I know of it. Never watched it or read it.
What about Old Yeller? Or Where the Red Fern Grows?
No, but we watched Homeward Bound tonight.
Yeah, the Simon and Garfunkel biopic? Yep.
That's right.
Yes.
And Coley thought the dogs were going to die.
Well, yeah.
Well, you thought the cat died first, and then you thought the old dog died.
Yeah.
Yep. Nobody dies.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Well, I mean, I bet you none of them are alive anymore. That's a pretty old movie. Animals don't live that long.
That's mean. That's terrible.
I can't believe that it was your birthday pick a movie to
listen, watch. It was either that or scroll through a bunch of other movies until we found something, and I just said, you know what, we're just going to watch this, because it's whatever.
Okay.
She liked it.
Yep. Anyway. It wasn't High School Musical, so.
Yes. That show is basically just Glee for, like,
young, it is.
Slightly younger people.
Yep, totally. She asked if she could watch Glee. I was like, no, nope.
Yeah. So, Jeremy, how are you?
I am fairly good, Daniel. I am alive.
That's always good thing.
It's good.
Is it, though? No, I'm sorry. I was just trying to send a message real quick. I'm pretty good. It's nice out today, and didn't have to go to baseball practice in a blizzard, so that's nice.
Wait.
That's
why would you have to go to baseball practice in a blizzard?
Because he lives in Montana.
No, but did they have a blizzard? Did you have a blizzard recently?
No, but... I'm being a little bit dramatic because it's been cold with flurries and wind and nasty at a couple practices.
Gotcha.
It is spring baseball. We should be used to it, but I get less tolerant of that stuff the older I get. Something you're going to learn a lot about starting tomorrow, because everything changes, believe it or not.
Everything changes, what, the moment you turn 40?
Correct.
Just, correct. I'll wake up tomorrow and suddenly, what's going to happen? Things are going to hurt that didn't before?
Your knees are going to be a little more sore. Like I mentioned, you're going to have hair growing out of places you didn't expect. Your memory is going to be a little bit weak.
I mean...
You're going to find yourself with
odd
hobbies that you didn't think you once enjoyed, like listening. I mean, you started a few months early, don't get me wrong. Really
this did. All started already.
You really did.
So it's just going to progress much more quickly for you.
We haven't really talked about my latest hobby, which I was trying to get you into. I don't know if I've succeeded yet, but
the bird app.
The Merlin... Cornell Labs bird app. It is...
I'll tell you about my involvement, but I want you to go first.
So I had heard about it on podcasts.
Also, welcome everybody to... Of course, we have a podcast episode, I don't know, 47-ish, with Jeremy, Coley, and Daniel.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
the stinger on at the end there.
That reminds me, I was listening to a Beach Boys song.
Which one?
And I swear, and I am looking it up right now. I swear this was like a theme song for a freaking sitcom or something.
This is good.
It just has that feel to it.
I mean, a lot of their songs have that feel.
Strange World.
Oh, that's on their newest album. They're very old on that album. Oh.
Newest album?
It's just on the playlist you made.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a decent album, actually. For a bunch of old guys, it's actually not bad. I like that album. It totally does sound like it could be a sitcom theme song. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Merlin.
Yeah, so the Merlin app. It's basically, when I was texting you about it, you said it's... What's that song app on your phone that
Shazam? Yeah, it's
Shazam for birds, which is totally exactly what it is. But I've gotten like in the habit of doing it every morning when I take the dog out to go to the bathroom. And it's funny, if I take him out during the week, he usually wakes up, you know, I mean, we wake up at 5:45 and I take him out. And by that time, there's a few birds, and they're singing. But on the weekends, we sleep in a little bit. And so, like, 6:30, 7, by that time, if I take him out at that time, there's many more birds. So we have... I have to go over all the different birds that we have in our area now. In our yard.
Okay. So he's so obsessed with this app that we were literally at the hotel on Saturday night waiting for the shuttle to go over to the casino to have his birthday dinner. And there's 10 other people outside waiting for the shuttle. And he's trying to use his app to identify some bird he heard, but it wouldn't pick it up because there was too many people talking. And he was quite upset that he didn't get to find out what bird was in the marsh near the hotel on our way to the casino.
Well, that is upsetting.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. All right, so we have a tufted titmouse.
Yes, of course.
A northern cardinal. An American robin. A white-throated sparrow. A red-bellied woodpecker. And a blue jay. And a black-capped chickadee.
Chickadee-dee-dee.
Yep, and that was one day. American crow, field sparrow, song sparrow, Carolina wren, and a red-winged blackbird. Yep. But what I'm fascinated with now, so we also have owls. But I've never been able to get the owl on tape. We also have house finch and an eastern phoebe. But yeah, when I hear the owl, it's usually too far away for me to record it. It doesn't pick it up.
Do you hear like the who or the screech?
The who. The who.
How big are the owls there?
We have some pretty big ones.
Yeah, because, man, the ones here, I tell you, a few months back, I was driving to work at, 3 in the morning like a sane person. And, like, I thought I saw this, like, small child in an oversized T-shirt, like, wearing, like, their dad's T-shirt in the middle of the fucking road. I, like, freaked out. And then, like, I slowed way down, and, I mean, I didn't get right up on it. I was quite a ways away from it. And the fucking thing turned its head and looked right at me. And then, like, flew right at me. Like, it was walking on 2 feet like a fucking kid. It was, God, the owls here freak me out, Daniel. They freak me out.
Well, when I used to work at the camp, that we would have to be up in the middle of the night sometimes. Not in the middle of the night. Till there were certain nights you were assigned to be on duty. and you had to watch the cabins while the kids slept until 1 in the morning. And we would always build a fire and just sit around the fire talking. And you could always hear the owls, and there were definitely some screeching owls. And that's a creepy sound in the middle of the woods late at night.
Yes, it is. So you saw, you recorded a northern cardinal, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you come across any dick sissels yet? It's a relation to the cardinal.
No.
What about a Himalayan snowcock or a great tit?
We did get the titmouse. No snowcocks or great tits.
Horny screamer. Let's see. American woodcock.
Yeah.
And let's see. An Andy and cock of the rock. Who names these birds? My God.
Blue-footed too much time booby. On their hands.
Yeah.
So, but what I'm fascinated with this thing is how can it tell the difference between woodpeckers?
Satanic right? goat sucker.
Because
now, I gotta go.
I recorded today and it said there were two different woodpeckers. It said I had a brown creeper and a downy woodpecker, but I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure it was just one bird, and it gave me both birds.
It's all based off audio only?
Yep.
Well, they probably assume since you're using the app, you don't really know, so they can just say whatever they want.
True.
But maybe it's like so sophisticated, like this might be a thing there. I don't really know, but like in England, you know, people can tell which borough or whatever people are from because their accent is slightly different, but like to the rest of us, it sounds the same. So
I mean,
maybe it's like that.
The only thing that I was thinking was that, one of them pecks at a different rate than the other, you know? Like maybe one type of woodpecker pecks like deep and hard, and the other pecks like fast and you know, just like really, really shallow but fast, you know?
Don't stop. Don't stop. Go on. Go on. Don't stop. I'm almost there. How much pecker could a woodpecker peck if a woodpecker could pecker wood?
No, but really, legitimately, I think that's how they tell the difference between them from their pecking.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there's something to that. Interesting, Daniel. Good times. So, Coley, congratulations to being married to an old man now.
Thank you. Yeah.
Suppose you should probably get out your crochet hooks and start making doilies and such, and knitting afghans.
Does him being old
like
now
that.
Make me actually old?
I think so, and I think you need to put your hair up in like a tight bun and get some.
I mean,
like,
I do every day.
Mrs. Claus glasses.
Okay.
And have crumpets and tea out for just in case you get company. I don't know. I don't know how old couples work.
Oh, one of those blue tins of cookies.
Oh, yeah. The sewing kits?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Just in case.
The butter cookies. Those are actually good.
The butter
like
cookies
those.
In case
that you're afraid
up.
To like reach your hand into because you're just going to get pricked.
Yeah.
What if you woke up tomorrow and like your hair was all gray?
I'd love to have
so
hair.
Happy.
Oh.
You'd love to have hair, and I'd love to have gray hair. I have just the little tufts by my ears are gray, and the rest of it's not gray yet. I'll take
it. It's very colored.
But it doesn't last. You then have to have it colored gray again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, tell me about Quinn's first goal. How was she a goalie and scored a goal? Did she just, like, kick the ball super hard, or do they rotate positions?
No, they rotated. There's two goalies on her team. And she played goalie in the first half and did not allow a goal. And then in the second half, she played forward for a bit, and that's when she scored.
Nice.
Yeah.
Does she?
She did well.
Does she like soccer?
She loves it.
Yeah,
she loves it. Cool. Said she doesn't want to play basketball again. That her things are soccer and horseback riding.
I can respect that.
So we'll take it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. She had a rough time at basketball camp last week.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody can say she didn't give it a shot.
True.
Yeah.
But she was with kids who are very serious about it. That she was telling me, she said, I don't ever want to play something where my whole future depends on it. So it was a bunch of kids that
think they're going into the NBA.
To the NBA and WNBA.
Yeah.
And she's just not that. And it was the first time she's ever been coached with someone that's not Dan. So
yeah,
she didn't like that very much. She said, are you, Daddy doesn't push us.
Are you coaching soccer also?
No.
Nope. No. No. So soccer started during basketball camp.
Ah.
Her first practice was last Wednesday, and then her first game was last Saturday. So they had one practice and then their game. But it was fun to watch the game and not have to, like, worry and stress about coaching.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
It was strange to watch the game with him next to me. Because I'm normally just sitting with my mom and he's coaching.
It'll be stranger if she does end up doing basketball again and I have to sit and watch it with you.
Because you're not going to coach regardless?
No, I'm not. No.
I don't think she'll play again.
Yeah, probably not.
And she also wants to be in musical theater. So that's the newest thing.
Well, that's all of a sudden trio of good events. So when are you guys going to have to buy a home in the country so you can accommodate her horses?
No. Nope.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No.
All right.
I will get her a soccer net and allow that to be in my yard.
Yeah?
that's about as supportive as I'm getting.
Yeah.
Well, that's something. Most people don't like stuff in their yard at all, so that's okay.
I don't, but I will be nice.
Are you coaching baseball?
No, not officially. I just go and pretend like I am.
Not officially.
Gotcha. What does that mean?
Well, because there's a head coach and an assistant coach. I mean, I go out there with my glove and
I
yell at the kids and hit grounders and play catch and tell them to. Okay,
so you're coaching.
So are baseball. You the assistant coach?
No, no.
Yeah.
No.
You just said you're the assistant.
No, but no, there's a head coach and an assistant coach.
Oh, okay.
So
I gotcha.
And then Jeremy.
Me and usually either Travis or his wife is usually always there too, and so we just help out a little bit. I don't know why, but Alicia's been going to every practice, which is strange. She has not done that before. But it could be because they're later. Last year they were right after school, and now they're not till 5:30, so I don't know. But
it's stupid. Gotcha.
Yeah, she has practice tomorrow on Dan's birthday, so he gets to go to work and then go watch soccer practice.
Yeah. So tell me about Michael Jordan's steakhouse. What did you order? Was it overcooked, undercooked, just right?
It was salty as fuck.
A steak?
Yeah, it was the saltiest ribeye I've ever had in my life.
Hmm. Interesting. Did you piss the waiter off?
No, well, I hope not. Did I?
No.
Why'd you say well?
Well, I told the...
Oh, yeah. So tell him what happened.
So we went with our friends, Stephanie and Harold, and it was Stephanie's birthday. And then Dan's birthday is Wednesday. And so I had made the reservations. I said it was for birthdays. And when we got there, they're like, who are the, you know, whose birthdays are there? And they had cards for Stephanie and for Dan.
Yep.
That Michael Jordan signed and all of the staff
like
signed.
Like auto pen or actually signed it?
No. This was really signed.
Wow,
Jeremy.
You should put that on eBay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say if you want to sell it on eBay.
LeBron wouldn't sign him himself. He'd have somebody else do it.
I'm pretty sure it was
it's still cool, though.
It's still cool. It was a nice gesture. So then we got some drinks, and we got some appetizers. So we got a crab cake. The crab cake was delicious.
Very good.
We got Wagyu meatballs, which I didn't...
They were
just fine.
Yeah, that seems like a waste of Wagyu, frankly.
Yeah.
And then tuna tartare, right?
Yes, tuna tartare.
And then I got a wedge salad, which I have to say was one of the best wedge salads that I've ever had. And that's
what do you mean? It's just a wedge of lettuce. How can they be any different than any other wedge of lettuce?
Oh, the dressing.
Mm, that makes sense. The dressing. I guess.
It was amazing. But we had like two drinks and we were all feeling good. And when my wedge salad came, the busboy was like, I'll bring you a knife. I said, oh, that'd be great. So he brought me a steak knife for my wedge salad. And I went to say, like, thank you, I love it. But I looked up at him and said, thank you, I love you.
And I'm talking to Harold.
And he's talking to Harold. He doesn't know. And Stephanie's looking at me like, did you just say that? And this guy just looks at me. He's like, yep. And like walks away. And Stephanie's like, did you just say you love him? And I said,
and you watch him as he walks away and he stops and talks to somebody and points over at you.
Yeah. That's hilarious. So then I'm dying laughing and then he's like, what are you laughing about? I'm like, I just told that guy that I love him.
Well, happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
But then, let's see.
That was a really good salad.
It was a great salad. It was really good. I got the filet. And.
How was it?
It was good. Okay. It was a good filet. And then they do, you know, everything's a la carte. So you could get, for potatoes, you could get a trio of mashed potatoes. There was a garlic, there was a bacon cheese, and then there's sweet potato, mashed sweet potato.
Okay.
So we shared
that.
Like
you would get all three
table.
On one plate? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, it was like little tiny cast irons.
Yeah.
And so we shared that.
And like
then,
a metal holder.
Yeah, and then we got cream spinach, which was good, and then they got mushrooms, which I didn't eat.
Cream spinach really didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. I don't know. I really was just focused on eating the steak, and I was like, I was very full by the end of the steak, and I was like,
I wonder why it was so salty.
It was good, and it was obviously very tender because of, I mean, it was a good cut of meat, but it was also very salty. I don't know. It was weird, though, because, like, Harold also ordered the ribeye, and he ordered his medium rare, and I ordered mine medium, but mine had, like, this nice char on the outside, and his didn't. He said his was good, but I was looking at his, and I would have been disappointed because he didn't have that char. I don't know.
I see. Okay.
Stephanie got salmon. You said that it was good.
That was really good salmon. Yeah.
And so I had this, like, piece of the filet, and I put it on my fork, and I handed it over to Stephanie for her to, like, take and cut up, you know? And she took this whole piece of filet and just shoved it in her mouth.
Like a quarter of your filet.
I was like...
Stop. I mean, that salmon wasn't going to fill her up. She had to improvise.
It was pretty funny.
You'll meet them at the party.
Yep.
But I'll be like taking coats, so I'll be meeting everybody. Is that how that's going to work?
But yeah,
speaking of the party, Coley, I need to ask you this because I asked Daniel at one time and he didn't really give me much of an answer.
What the hell?
What is the dress expectation? Should I bring like super formal wear or just like a Zelda t-shirt? I mean, what should I wear?
It is like if there's such thing as like business casual but for a party. Does that make any sense whatsoever? It's not super fancy. It's at a brewery. Like, Dan and I will be dressed up just because it's our party.
Yeah.
But just, like, summer party wear.
Oh, okay. I got plenty of that stuff.
Great.
So. Cool. Just curious. I don't want to be overdressed or underdressed.
You're not the first person who's asked, so...
No, I'm sure I'm not. It's... a common question, no doubt. Nice. So, Daniel, Coley, what have you been watching? Anything fun?
We watched the fourth season of True Detective.
Yeah, True Detective Night Country.
I've tried to start that like four times, and I don't know why. I just can't get into it.
Oh, man, really? I was hooked after the first episode.
I kept falling asleep. Maybe I was just super tired. So that's happened before, and then I went back a couple months later and enjoyed something. You guys need to watch The Righteous Gemstones before the new season comes out so we can watch that at the same time.
Yeah, Joe really likes that show.
Yeah, well, so do I, and I'm the one talking. So.
I thought you were going to be like, well, I don't like it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but Joe likes it. So. Yeah.
I think Joe liked it before I liked it.
Yeah, I
think. And that's okay. I'm not the jealous type. I wonder if he can feel this voodoo ball pin go into him.
How many seasons are there of that?
There's two seasons.
Okay.
Probably. We watched an episode of it.
Didn't we? Yeah, I thought we did.
It's freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. I guess. I mean, maybe it's not for everybody.
Listen, she's a real critic when it comes to, especially comedy.
Yeah. I don't know. There's actually not a whole lot of comedies I love either, but I just, like, I never really got into Eastbound and Down that had that guy in it.
That's the same guy. Yeah.
But I did like Vice Principals, which was those two. Walton Goggins and Danny McBride. Is that his name?
Wait, so Walton Goggins from Fallout is in, whatchamacallit?
Yeah, it's like he's the greatest character like ever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
Isn't Eliza Schlesinger in Righteous Gemstones? She's like one of my favorite stand-up comedians.
Yes, she's
probably is my favorite stand-up comedian.
Daughter, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And she's funny. Yeah. Like the whole show is just ridiculous and makes fun of like major evangelism.
Yeah. I like comedy.
Yeah.
He just tried to say I don't like funny things. Yeah. I do like funny things.
Yeah, Daniel.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah, Daniel.
She just knows what funny things are. Unlike like some Schitt's people. Creek.
Yeah. Schitt's Creek is the funniest show ever. So, there.
Fine.
Whatever. You can't even lie. You watched Schitt's Creek with me and laughed. So.
So what have you gotten for presents for your birthday? Just anything yet, or are you going to get them all tomorrow? Or at your family party?
He's getting nothing to open tomorrow.
I'm not getting anything.
I mean, you're 40 years old. Suck it up.
We did the Michael Jordan Steakhouse.
Got a hotel.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and we got a hotel. And we're going to a concert this fall.
Yes.
And you went to PAX East.
And I went to PAX East. Yeah. I don't really understand how that became part of my birthday gift, but okay.
That was the agreement to you going, that it was for your birthday gift.
And you got some ramen noodles and Nutella.
You did.
I did. Well, so that's a lie. You're right. I completely lied. But your gifts came like so long ago that I forgot they were even for my birthday.
I didn't know the post office was going to be much quicker than they quoted me.
So, yeah. No, I mean, I'm very excited because I've already listened to Smile twice now, I think.
Is it in pretty good shape?
Yeah, it's in great shape. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, like, one corner is slightly bent, and that's about it.
I see. I had it in that bag. But then, like, the bag was pretty shoved in the box, so I was afraid that was going to bend it. So that's why I took it out.
Oh, okay. I was kind of wondering what the bag was for.
It was for the record.
That was a fun box, though. It was a fun box.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
There was just so much stuff in there.
I appreciate all the bags that will not be going into the back of the
house. So I actually just put those in there for filling, but then by the time I shoved everything in there, it was pretty full anyway, so I'm like, whatever.
That's pretty funny.
And I put Bioshock up in my game room. So on my like game display shelf, I have a bunch of little like mini shrines to different franchises and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, like, I have Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, 3, Diddy Kong Racing, Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, and Donkey Kong Country, the Wii 1, Donkey Kong Country Returns. And so I have all those, like, set up, and I have, like, Half-Life and Half-Life 2, and then Half-Life 2 for the Half-Life 1 for the PlayStation 2. I got, like, all these different versions of Half-Life, right? And I have a Half-Life book. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I think I have enough. And I have a Last of Us one with, like, the first season of the show and part 1 and part 2 and the book. I was like, I think I have enough to make a little mini Bioshock shrine. So that's... I did that.
Cool.
I have Bioshock and Bioshock Infinite. You know,
jeez, I wish I'd have known you were making a Bioshock shrine. I could have sent you a bunch of stuff, but I sold it.
That's okay. I have the book.
The Return to Rapture fiction. Or whatever it's called? That's actually a pretty good book, man. It's serviceable.
Yeah,
it's
a good book. I remember. So, thank you very much. And I'm still eating the Skittles. I ate some Skittles tonight. They were good. While we were watching Homeward Bound.
Good.
Yep. That's you got me my only openable gifts. So, I appreciate that.
You'll get something, Daniel. You'll get something.
Yes.
I'm sure somebody at work will get you something.
Cards from us.
Oh, they gave me a $50 gift card to Michael Jordan's Steakhouse. So that paid for most of Coley's steak.
Most. the part that, what's your friend's name? Stephanie ate. Do the fillets there come wrapped in bacon?
No.
Interesting.
No.
No. We do it classy out here. No, none of that.
I've never liked the bacon on them, personally.
No,
I don't either.
The bacon doesn't cook right.
No, it doesn't. And it, like, changes the flavor of the steak and the bacon.
Yeah. Right.
To something that I don't find... I don't find it intolerable, but I just think it's strange.
No, but then if you take the bacon off, the sides of the steak are just, like, this weird...
Yeah. Yes, mess. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was told once the reason for that is because a fillet doesn't have hardly any natural fat in it. So the bacon is intended to be like a
Why can't I think of the word? The fat.
Yeah. Like what is it when you have somebody else carry your baby? What do they call that?
A surrogate.
A surrogate, yes, the surrogate fat.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't really work out very well.
No.
In my opinion. yeah. Sorry, I'm just blabbing.
What was that? I was gonna say. Oh, so what other shows have
40.
What shows have you been watching?
So Dylan and I have been watching Shogun and.
Yeah.
We have one episode to finish the season. And I just finished the audiobook this morning, which is interesting how that kind of paralleled. Like, I didn't intend for it to be that way, but essentially every episode we've watched has somehow been in the same spot as the audiobook. And the audiobook is like 54-ish hours.
Wow.
But there's...
That's a lot of ish hours.
There's a lot of introspect in the book that's not in the show. So I'm guessing that's kind of why they finished at the same time, so to speak. Also, the audiobook is two separate books. Like, Shogun is apparently two books. And they're vastly different books in strange ways. Like, the second book is almost 50 Shades of Grey.
What?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of sex in it.
With him and the interpreter lady?
And his Yeah, lots of people, Daniel.
Interesting.
Okay. Like, the very end of the first book, like, she's talking to him about pillow, they call it pillowing. And, like, he's super uncomfortable about it. And she mentions something about, well, would you like a boy? And he, like, freaks out on her, right? Like, freaks out. And that's the end of the first book. Like, literally, that's the end. And then the start of the second book is, like...
What the hell?
Is, like, she takes him to a brothel and the courtesan brings out all these sex toys. And the interpreter's like, oh, no, he's not going to want to talk about any of those things. So she's showing him and he's like, this is fascinating. And then the next thing you know, there's anal beads being shared and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, wow, that was a drastic turn. Just don't bring a boy into it, I guess, for God's sakes.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was just...
They can't put all that in the show.
No, but it was just strange because the second book was mostly his relationship with the interpreter, but also a lot of orgies with several other people.
Does all the political intrigue and stuff end in the second book?
I don't want to spoil it for you.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
No, it's...
So I literally just got to... I think I just finished episode 5, which ends with her asking if he wants to go to a brothel. Or the shogun telling her to bring him to a brothel.
Toranaga? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the second, like... I was like, how are they going to make this whole book in one season? Because it's just going to be one season.
Yeah.
Especially after, like, the first book was pretty well kind of drug out. But, yeah, the second book, there's not a lot that happens. It's really just people's thoughts. So.
Okay.
It's just smut.
It is a lot of smut. And then I get to, like, the final chapter, and it's only, like, 13 minutes long. And, like, there's a lot that needs to be wrapped up. And I'm like, what the hell? How's this going to happen? And, it's basically the entire chapter is one person sharing, like talking to themselves, like sharing their inner thoughts, and kind of leaves it to interpretation a little bit at the end. It does talk about the final battle, but it's only like 30 seconds. It's strange. Anyway, so I've been watching that. I watched Fallout.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty great. I don't think it's better than The Last of Us, but I don't think they're the same thing. So I don't know why people insist on comparing them.
Well, because they're both...
video game adaptations, yeah.
And they're both actually good.
They are both good, so...
Yeah.
Looking forward to season 2 of that. Which would have been a super bummer if there hadn't been a season 2, like, the way it ended, right?
Yeah, I want to talk about Fallout, but I think we should maybe leave that for the very end of the episode when we can say, like, spoilers and tell people to turn the episode off if they want to not hear Fallout spoilers.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Just general overview, I really enjoyed it. I think it's about as good as The Last of Us. Like, I was super impressed with how... the story evolved. Like, I just didn't know where they were going to go with it. And I thought it tied back into the vault and tied back into his origin story and everything. I friggin' loved it.
Yeah, the way it tied all that together was really great. I agree.
And I thought the 7th episode in particular was the funniest episode, and I really enjoyed that.
Which one was
that? I wished... there was more humor throughout the show. There was humor, for sure, but I wished that more episodes were as funny as the 7th episode. It was the second to last episode.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain what happened.
No, yeah, I remember. I found it all quirky, and like it had humor in parts of every episode, I thought.
Yeah, it did. I just thought that was the only episode I found myself really laughing out loud consistently.
Yeah. It did a great job.
And then it wraps up really in an intriguing way, too, and left me really wanting to finish it out and, on the final episode.
It did a great job of capturing the ridiculousness of Fallout without seeming like completely over the top. And that's right. Not easy to do. So.
No.
Nope. What concert are you going to this fall?
If you say it fast, it sounds like...
Sure, go ahead.
So we're going to go see The National and War on Drugs. So if you say it really fast, it sounds like we're going to see The National War on Drugs. Like we're going to this like rally or something.
Is that not what you said?
But it is. But is The National...
Which is one band.
One band. Mm-hmm. Playing with War on Drugs.
Which is another band.
Which
band.
Is another band.
Okay. Cool.
So The National are, they're like an indie band that have been around since the early 2000s, and I've been into them since their 2007 album, The Boxer.
Yes, which is much cooler than mine. That's right. A Taylor Swift reference.
Yes, I know it is. No, but what I'm saying is that, I'm getting to it. They, Aaron Dessner, who is their main, he's kind of like their songwriter, he's kind of their Brian Wilson. He does all the music for them. He's been producing and helping to write Taylor Swift's last, like, four albums since...
Folklore.
I see. So he's, like, working with, like, Jack Antonoff?
Yes. Okay. It's him and Jack Antonoff that have been doing it. And they were The National and Bon Iver were in this sort of super group called Big Red Machine, and Taylor Swift did a song with them that was a hit, like on the radio.
Cool.
Like even on the radio around here, it was surprising. So we're excited to see them. I'm excited to see them. And then The War on Drugs is another kind of indie-ish band that the singer sounds a lot like Bob Dylan.
Very much so.
But, like, not quite as pronounced.
Maybe, like, a cross between Jacob Dylan, right?
I was going to say, so, like, sure. Jacob Dylan
and Bob Dylan.
Yeah, like, sort of a little bit more Bob Dylan than Jacob Dylan is, but a little bit in between, yeah.
Like Arlo Guthrie.
Sure. But they have like this sort of like 80s sound with Bob Dylan singing. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. They're great.
I could dig that.
Yep.
It'll be fun.
We'll enjoy that.
And we almost got tickets to see Vampire Weekend, but I've seen them before. But I would like to see them again sometime.
Yeah.
Because
you should take Quinn.
She would actually like it. Mm-hmm. She would like that concert.
I know.
How do you know?
Because I just know
he things.
He just knows things. I may have been telling him how Quinn asked me the other day if I only could listen to like one band forever. Oh. Would it be the Beach Boys or Vampire Weekend?
So I've been not as obsessed with the Beach Boys lately because Vampire Weekend put out a new album last week, a week before Taylor Swift's new album. And ever since that came out, it's been all I could listen to. It's so good. It's the best album.
Good to have some diversity.
Yes.
How are you guys coping with the shocking news that the Golden Bachelor couple are getting divorced?
Laughing. Because that was 3 months. They lasted 3 months.
3 months, huh?
Mm-hmm. Three months of a marriage.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch The Golden Bachelor, but I'm in reality TV Facebook group, so I know all about it.
Sure, so you know. You're in the know.
Yeah. I'm in the know, exactly. Yep.
Wait, so I want to go back, though, because we were talking about music. And two things, Jeremy. First, before we get into the other thing.
Okay.
I gotta ask, like, are you still into the Beach Boys? I mean, you listened to it today, you said.
Yeah. I have not listened as much this month because I was listening to Shogun.
Right.
But yeah, I've been listening to them quite a bit. Yeah. I would say I mostly just listen to the playlist that you've got made, because I think it updates on mine when you update yours.
Yes, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Which, why did you take all but two songs off your Bob Dylan Blood on the Tracks playlist, FYI? But anyway.
I don't know. I don't know.
So, yeah, I've been listening to that quite a bit. I did listen to Tortured Poets Department, and
I was going
to. That was the next thing I wanted to talk about. Let's talk about Taylor Swift's new album.
Yeah. I don't know. It didn't grab me. I see some people think it's the greatest thing ever, and others feel kind of like I do. Like, it's not bad. And it might become one like Folklore that eventually grows on me, because if I listen to it more, I might, you know, get more into the lyrics and the writing and whatnot. But initially, there's like, the only song that really stuck out to me initially was The Alchemist or Alchemy or whatever it was called.
Okay.
And I did not listen to the anthology one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't downloaded that or saved it or whatever. So. But.
Yeah. I have no interest in listening to that second one.
Yeah. I really don't either. I mean, listen, you can't win them all, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll listen to the Vampire Weekend and maybe even the Pearl Jam album. I don't know.
We'll see. I know. I've been thinking about listening to that Pearl Jam album too, actually.
No, but we listened to the Taylor Swift on Saturday, and six songs in, I looked at him and I said, have we just listened to the same song for this whole time?
Yeah, that's kind of like, how I felt. There's no... Like.
They just all sound alike.
It's very samey.
Yeah. And but I love Folklore, so don't... Like, that's my favorite Taylor Swift album is Folklore. So I was excited to maybe have something on that realm again, but this is just, it was boring.
So generally on Taylor Swift albums, I'll be honest, I'm like that radio whore. I'll listen to like the singles, like mostly, and then after a while, I'll finally listen to the whole album. So since there doesn't really seem to be any, like, as I call them, anthems or whatever, any like super catchy like pop songs on this one, maybe that's why it didn't catch my attention, because I'm just so basic, but
just nothing really stands out. Mm-mm. Right, and like even just the backing instruments and stuff doesn't
boring.
Yeah, they're just boring. Nothing really sounds super interesting or catches your ear.
You said that she should really take a year or two, you know, a couple years.
More than a year or two. You know, she needs to take away, like 4 or 5 freaking years.
And then like come back, you know, so we're not so oversaturated.
And that's possible. I mean, I think she should do whatever the hell she wants to do, but I don't disagree that that... No,
I think that Dan and I should decide for her what she's doing.
I just don't want to be in the off chance that, like, the Swifty Nation catches this podcast. I don't want to be... hung up by my balls for, you know, suggesting that.
I mean, seriously, though, she needs to just take some time to just be a person and not be Taylor Swift, you know?
Yeah, enjoy her.
That would be healthy for her, and it would be healthy for her craft. She could take time to really just develop some new ideas and new sounds. And
I agree. She's put out a lot of music the last few years and done other things. So I do think it would be great for her to take some time. And maybe that's her plan. I don't really know.
And I think she needs to start working with some different collaborators. Like, I think she needs to be done with Jack Antonoff. And I think it'd be fine if she stopped working with Aaron Dessner from The National. And just... Go find somebody else to write and produce songs with, and I think that would be good for her.
Yeah, I don't think it would hurt any of them, and that's not necessarily an indictment of Aaron Dessner or Jack Antonoff.
Dessner. Yeah,
it's just what it is.
Yep.
She needs to sign a new contract with the Dodgers. Or somebody.
Yes.
But other than that, I've just been listening to the same stuff I always listen to. A little Simon and Garfunkel, some Beatles, some Bob Dylan, John Prine, Outlaw Country, you know.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't. Your friend here thought he was going to be super cool on Saturday.
What did I do?
And guess what song he chose to do in karaoke?
Oh,
were you drunk? How come I don't see videos of this?
Because it didn't. We left before our names got called.
Okay, hold on. Let me guess. Mrs. Robinson.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. You're never gonna guess it.
Okay, then tell me.
Go ahead, tell her.
You're welcome. From Moana.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I never.
It's
would
your
have
day
that.
To say you're welcome. What?
I'm just an ordinary demigod.
Kid, honestly, I could go on and on. I could explain every natural phenomenon.
Yeah, but do you know what
he did
in the bar?
The
he pulled up the song so that he could study the lyrics before he went
I
up
I killed
there.
A nail. I buried its guts. Sprouted a tree. Now you got coconuts. What's the lesson? What is the takeaway?
Mess with Maui when he's on a breakaway. Yes. I'm proud of you, Daniel, for singing a kid's song to a... Were you still at Michael Jordan's at this point?
I thought it would be super
funny.
No, we
were at the Celtic place. There's an Irish
pub.
Weird to have an $80 filet and still be able to do karaoke.
It was $80. How did you know that?
Your filet wasn't $80.
It was close to it.
No, my ribeye was 80. Your filet was actually like 55.
Oh, well, look at me, cheap date.
Yeah. I thought it would have been hilarious. All these people are up there doing country songs, and I come up doing fucking Moana.
Yeah.
I just thought it would have been fun.
There's a new Moana coming.
Yeah, there is. Have you heard the theory about Moana? I actually think it's a good theory, and I think I subscribe
to
it.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure I have, but you'll have to remind me, because my kids know all the Disney theories, so I get them confused.
So, the theory is that... When she's sailing and she is in the storm,
yeah,
the theory is that she dies there.
Mm.
And then she goes and she meets Maui and she meets all these other mystical creatures and goes to the bottom of the ocean or whatever and meets the crab.
You should have sang that song. I'm so shiny.
And then Nefiti yes. Gives her life back.
I see.
Like when she restores her heart. And that's the theory. And that the reason she meets all these mystical creatures and everything is because she's in the afterlife.
I mean, that makes sense. I always thought it was LSD, but your idea sounds a little more realistic.
And that's why she can speak to her grandmother at the end there, too. Like her dead grandmother.
Cool.
That's the theory, and I actually think that's a pretty good theory, and I think it's a cool way to think about the movie, and it makes me enjoy the movie even more.
My girls have been obsessed with Wish lately.
I almost chose that to watch.
And The Sandlot. Wish and The Sandlot. They go through a Sandlot phase every year. At least they have for like the last 4 years.
Where can you watch The
Sandlot? It's on Disney Plus at the moment.
Oh, shoot. We should have watched that tonight. Babe, why didn't we watch that?
You tell me.
The Wish soundtrack is kind of a banger, honestly.
I haven't even seen it. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen it.
No. Oh. If it's not High School Musical, the TV show, it doesn't get played right now in our house.
Yeah.
Hmm. I see.
Or the movies. High School Musical movies.
But she's very obsessed with the show. So.
Well, she is of that age, I suppose.
I guess so, yeah.
We haven't talked to you since the college basketball ended.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Congratulations on your men's team. And I...
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have no opinion on that offensive foul from the women's game because I feel it's a game you had to watch in its entirety to understand the context of it. And I couldn't figure out how to log into ESPN Plus to watch that game. I did manage to watch the championship game the next day, suddenly it worked.
Is there a more useless app than ESPN?
There really isn't. It was so confusing. I was so frustrated. Like, and then, like, I didn't do anything different the next, whatever it was, the two nights later for the championship game, and it just worked.
Yep.
Right?
Right. Like, right, and you were just able to watch it. I hate it so much. No, the more I think about it, like, she Aaliyah Edwards definitely fouled.
Congrats to the Lady Cox. I mean, Gamecocks.
Aaliyah Edwards definitely fouled. That was an illegal screen. The issue is, like you said, you need to have watched the entire game because the refs were not calling any fouls on Iowa that entire game.
Yeah.
And they were calling a ton on
you. Well, I mean, I was more thinking, like, if they were letting that type of stuff slide for the most part the entire game.
They were.
And then suddenly called it, then that's not okay.
They absolutely were.
That was the problem.
Especially on Iowa.
Yep.
Like, Iowa was setting those kind of screens for Caitlin Clark all game, the entire game, and never were called. And then they called that one at the end of the game. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, the men won, and that was awesome. They're incredibly impressive. Dan Hurley is a wizard. I don't even know.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching him on the sideline. Coley, so do you think you'll be a college basketball fan moving forward, or are you going to be a little more invested for the whole season next year?
Yeah, probably. I say that with the... non-enthusiastic.
Since then. Unfortunately, yes.
I was the one who was like, let's go to the parade.
Yeah, we went to the parade in Hartford.
We went to the victory parade, which was pretty cool. And Caravan threw a shirt at Quinn.
So how many of the men's team are going to the draft? I know that big tall dude.
Almost
is.
All of them, right? So like Klingon.
Yeah. So Donovan Castle, Klingon, Newton, Steph Castle, who was a freshman, Cam Newton, Cam Spencer, Tristan Newton.
Cam Spencer's going?
Oh well, no. Cam Spencer has. Yeah, Cam Spencer's going. Yes, Cam Spencer's going.
Oh, I thought he was staying with UConn.
No, he was a senior anyway. So. Pretty sure he was a senior. But yes, he's going to the draft and Alex Garibrand. So their whole starting five is gone.
Yep, it's gone.
And it's probably not even going to notice it next year. It's amazing how programs get so good like that and reload.
One thing about Dan Hurley is, like, he hates the transfer portal, but he's seems to be very good at using it and utilizing it. Like, Cam Spencer was a transfer, and they had a couple other transfers this year, and they're just somehow were able to lose so many guys last year and still won again this year. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, Coley's definitely invested. At least, so I'll admit, like, I used to, growing up, we would watch every single game. We're not like that.
No.
But when March comes around, and March Madness starts, if they're in it, I think we'll be watching.
Yeah.
Because you were into it this year.
I know. And I just kept looking at him saying, I'm so mad at you. I said it so many times.
Well, if it wasn't for that, it would be for something else. So at least you got some enjoyment out of it.
True.
Yeah.
What else did we need to talk about?
I don't know. I feel like there's lots. You go.
Well, it's the video game portion of the podcast now.
Oh, sorry, Coley.
I was like, I'll see myself out.
I've been playing Prince of Persia, Lost Crown. That's what it's called. I can never remember what the subtitle is.
It's not Sands of Time.
No, it's not Sands of Time. Although I have a Sands of Time skin, so he looks like the prince in Sands of Time. Oh. So that's fun because I love that game.
Yeah, I love
so
that
I
game
have him. I have him dressed up like that.
How cute.
And it is. And the whole story and the setting really deals with, like, the passage of time and time travel and parallel time lines. Yep, that's the word I was going for. Parallel timelines. So that's fun. It feels like a follow-up to Sands of Time. But it's 2D. But it's just really good. As far as, like, what are you laughing
Sorry.
At?
Sorry. I was someplace else, and then you said 2D, but you said it, like, 2D, and then I thought of Facts of Life, and, like, I just started, because I thought you were going, 2D.
The you have the Facts of Life. Yes.
And then I realized you were saying 2D, not 2D.
2D, not 3D. But it's just really good. If you like Metroidvanias, like that, like Hollow Knight or Shadow Complex or Ori or Metroid Dread, it's one of those, and it's so freaking good.
I think I would enjoy it.
Yeah. Yep. But now that I've watched Fallout, I kind of have a hankering to play a Fallout game.
I heard there's a remaster of 3 coming, so that might be a good one to jump in on.
That would be cool if that happens.
Yeah, I don't know much about Fallout 76. I know it was kind of a terrible launch, yeah. But that's been a long time, so I hope it's working better by now. But either way, I prefer the story games, not the multiplayer co-op type stuff.
I mean, from what I've heard, 76 isn't fully multiplayer, but it has a lot of multiplayer elements in it.
Yeah.
And I have heard that people are returning to it and say it's much better now. Yeah. And Harold's a big proponent of Fallout 76. He's a huge Fallout fan. So, he was talking to me about it, and he really likes Fallout 76. Oh, huh? So.
Might be something.
Yeah, I like it.
I might.
Mm-hmm. After you're done with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yes. Hopefully I'll finish that up in the next couple weeks. I haven't had a whole lot of time recently. I'm at the end. Yeah. I just need to finish the main story and forget the rest.
I've heard other people saying the same thing you've been saying, that the side quests and all the quests in the back half of the game are real bad.
Yeah, well, the middle and then at the end. Like, there's 3 full chapters where it's all just bullshit. Like, and that's not even side quest. That's even to advance the main quest. Where you gotta just jump through hoops, more or less, which is annoying.
Does anybody object to me just saying the rest of the episode is full spoilers on a couple of things?
I don't care, Daniel.
Do you mind, babe?
Cousin Phil, do
I'm
you care?
I'm on Instagram, so...
Yeah, she's scrolling Instagram, she's fully checked out.
Except right. for... No, I'm not, because I just wanted to bring this forward. I'm looking at one that says, smart people watch reality shows because they like to study human behavior. See? I feel validated.
I see.
And then,
so why does Daniel watch them?
Because I'm because I'm watching them. And then tomorrow, his birthday is also a very important day.
I know.
Drum roll, please.
2-4
Don't
4-2
Don't
four, two,
don't
four.
Don't you fucking say it. Don't. Is that why it's special?
No. Oh.
No. What?
In 1989, Michael Dukakis declared 424 New Kids on the Block Day.
Oh.
So it is the 35th anniversary of New Kids on the Block Day.
That makes sense. Was he like the governor of Massachusetts or something?
I mean, he was.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not anymore.
Well, I know that. So. I bet when he was running, he was running for president. Is that what he was?
Yeah, he was back then. Yeah. So.
So you know how like people will be on Facebook and be like, "Oh, it's like 4/20/24. It'll never be this day again. It's the same frontwards and backwards or whatever." That shit annoys me so much.
Why?
Because every day will never be duplicated. And also,
well, yeah.
It's technically 04/20/2024, so it's not the same frontwards and backwards. Also,
not if you're American. We're
one of, yes, and also, like, most of the world formats it differently. But it's always these same people that are like, oh, forgive me for being such a horrible person today. Like, I'm an asparagus and Mercury is in retrograde or whatever. Like, it's just... I'm an asparagus. Wow, I wish I could blame all my bullshit on
something. Just let me have this, all right, Jeremy? I'm excited for my birthday to be 42424. Okay. And for me to be turning 24 on 42424.
Yes, like, your golden shower amazing. Birthday. That's exciting.
Right.
Okay, well, happy birthday to
what you said
on 42424. And
42424.
Okay, but let's get to what I wanted to talk about, because from now on we're going to spoil the end of this episode. So if you don't want to get spoiled on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and the Fallout TV show, then go ahead and turn the episode off now. We love you very much. Thank you so much for watching, listening, whatever you do. If you're watching us, I don't really know how that's possible. Hopefully you don't have a camera set up in our living room.
I see
But thank you anyway for listening to, of course, we have a podcast, but spoilers start now.
Jeremy. Oh, by the way, the local drive-in is now open, also known as the Tasty Freeze, so we can get soft-serve ice cream and greasy burgers just down the street. So that's always a big deal in this town.
Greasy burgers. Yes.
That is exciting.
I love a greasy burger.
Yes. Anyway, Daniel.
We had greasy burgers the other night. All right. So Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Correct.
Please explain to me what it does. Because I know, you know, the big thing that happens in Final Fantasy VII.
I mean, I presume that's...
Does the big thing that happens in Final Fantasy VII still happen in
Rebirth? I haven't finished Rebirth, but I'm guessing it does. But there's also some things that have changed from...
So you haven't even gotten to that part yet?
Well, presumably that will be the last scene.
Where Aerith dies?
Correct.
Why? That would be the last scene. They're saving that for
it was the end of Disc 2. That's all I know.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Yes.
So wait a second. So Final Fantasy Remake 1 follows Disc 1, basically, of
Final Fantasy 7? Not exactly, but loosely, yes.
Okay. And Rebirth follows Disc 2?
Yes.
And then 3 is whatever.
Presumably Disc will be. Disc
3 is whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's, it's not like one-to-one, but generally speaking. So, I've heard people talk about the scene at the end of Rebirth and how, you know, it's like just as hard. So I presume that's what happens. But there's also, so there's a character in the Final Fantasy VII universe named Zack Fair. And he's supposed to be like the opposite of Cloud Strife, right? So, like, Cloud Strife is like this, like...
These are character names, but...
Yeah, he's like this, like, always on edge. Always on edge, like all business, like, straight to the point type of guy. Yeah. And Zack Fair, so Strife and Fair, is like the alternate to that. Like, easygoing, laid back... And before Aerith ever met Cloud, Zack was her boyfriend. And he is barely mentioned in the original Final Fantasy VII. But they made a game called Crisis Core that features him that came out on the PSP originally.
Okay.
It has a lot of his backstory.
Got it.
Anyway, he should be...
I didn't realize that, but all right.
Yeah. He should be dead. Like, he shouldn't be in... Final Fantasy VII proper, really, at all. But there's several scenes that have him in it.
Does he die in Crisis Core?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't remember if it's Crisis Core or right at the beginning of Final Fantasy VII. But in, like, you know, the PS1 version of Final Fantasy VII, it's just like, he's just another, he's like an NPC for like a second, right? He's a soldier with Cloud when they're both in Shinra. And he does, like, there's a scene where he's doing squats. Like, that's all he does. I can't say for sure, timeline-wise, if that's part of Crisis Core or after, I forget. Anyway, he's in Final Fantasy VII a lot. Like, he's not in any scenes directly with Cloud other than at the very beginning, which is confusing. So I have read that they have changed the story some, and that Zack plays a bigger role. So I don't know if they changed the era thing at all or not, but they potentially did. I think it would be a bigger deal and better and more well known this 2 months into the game being released. Like, I feel like people would be talking about it. So I don't think so, but yeah, I fully expect her to die. Like, she has to die. That's like, I don't know. That's like the game.
Wait, why does she have to die?
Well,
yeah, but I thought the whole
because of the whole battle between Sephiroth.
Why would they call it Rebirth? Why would they call it Rebirth if they don't bring Aerith back to life?
Because apparently Zack is brought back to life.
Oh, so he's the Rebirth?
I guess.
What the fuck?
Or maybe it's Cloud. Maybe this is all Cloud's dream. Like there's parts of it. At the beginning, it tells the entire story of how Sephiroth became evil, so to speak. It's like a 3-hour part. And
yeah,
Cloud's the one telling the story. And then after he finishes, Tifa says that Cloud wasn't there. Like, she said Cloud wasn't there when all that happened. So that's super confusing. And Cloud seems to think that Aerith is like a doppelganger. Like, not Aerith. Why do I keep saying Aerith? That Tifa is not the same Tifa that he grew up with in Nibelheim.
What?
And none of that stuff was in the PS1 version. So there's other elements. So yeah, I don't know how the Cloud and Zack thing is going to work out, but
right,
there's more to it than just Cloud versus Sephiroth. But anyway, like, Sephiroth killing Aerith is the catalyst for Cloud becoming powerful enough to take on Sephiroth. So
right. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. All right. So I'm curious, when you finish it, I'm curious to hear what happens.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Because I don't think Aerith's going to die. Something else is going to happen. No. Babe.
Yes.
Give some context to you and the
listeners. She doesn't care.
Because I know you're very interested. But, like, when Final Fantasy VII came out in 1997. There had never been a game like it had these cutscenes, right? It had these movies, cinematic sequences between the gameplay that were like we just hadn't seen anything quite like that in video games before at that time, and it told this like story, and the story was good, and it had like good characters and interesting setting and interesting characters and just drama, and it's not, you know, I think the Final Fantasy series goes a little off the rails, but it was good. It was better than most games at the time, and there's a famous scene in that game where the main character is sort of in this, like, love triangle the whole game. And one of the characters that is a love interest of his is Aerith. And the main big bad guy comes and he stabs Aerith in through the stomach and kills her. And it was the first time for a lot of gamers that, like, a character they cared about was killed and died in a game. So it was it's a very iconic moment in the history of gaming. And so they remade those. They're remaking Final Fantasy VII right now. And they split it up into presumably three different games. They had Final Fantasy VII Remake in 2017, I want to say it came out. And then now this one is Rebirth. It's like the second act in like a three-act story. And that's what we're talking about.
Jesus, Coley. How do you do it, Coley? How do you put up with that shit all day long? Just listening to them talk about stuff. I mean, I care, but listening to stuff that you don't care about. Like, just... It never ends, does it?
It doesn't ever end.
It's my birthday tomorrow. It's 4/24/24.
This is what Instagram is good for. I just sit here and I let him talk, and I scroll and watch food videos, and then I like read the captions because I can't have the sound on because he's talking. So then I really get into him because I'm concentrating on what I'm reading and not what he's saying.
So my theory,
Jeremy, this
is
all the time.
My theory is
it's all day long.
Doesn't actually die, but we'll see. Okay, so the Fallout TV show.
Oh, now they're making the omelets with the chopsticks.
The chopstick omelets. Have you ever done chopstick omelets, Jeremy?
No, Daniel. Why the fuck would I make a chopstick omelet?
They never look good. I see these videos all the time for.
I can't even eat noodles with chopsticks. I can't. Fornicate eggs.
Jeremy doesn't like eggs anyway.
Yes, but I've made like millions of omelets. Yeah, I just wouldn't cook with chopsticks because because it would be cultural appropriation and it's just not acceptable.
No, but they swirl.
No, I've seen it. I've seen it.
So they're not swirling it. They're making
it. They did swirl it. They did swirl it.
Yeah, but they're not.
I can totally make an omelet in a pan with chopsticks just by swirling the egg in the middle and then flipping it. That would be fine. There would be that's really no different than anything else. But
it never looks fully cooked.
With the chopsticks or other things?
Yeah. Yeah, in the videos I've seen, it never quite looks fully cooked.
Using a pan, you mean?
Never even.
It's tricky,
right? And watch when they cut it. Watch when they cut it. Oh, come on, cut it! Watch.
Oh no!
Right?
Nope. Yeah. Don't want my eggs like that.
That's runny omelet.
Yeah. No. Cooking omelets in a pan is. It's a little bit tricky. I mean, you got to manipulate your heat just right, and but it can, once you get good at it,
yeah,
it's not too terribly hard. But the trick is, you don't really flip it until it's almost all the way cooked, which is why you got to keep moving the egg around to keep it from burning on the bottom, while also solidifying enough to where you can flip it. Yeah.
So Fallout. All right. I'm trying to remember what happens in the show. What happens at the end? Fuck.
So at the end, Lucy finds Moldavo and her dad in a cage and her skeletal mother.
Yes.
Just chilling out, eating crumpets and drinking tea. And the ghoul also is there, or shows up, and so does the Brotherhood at the same time, and also Maximus, who is a squire for the Brotherhood, who stole a T-60 armor, power armor suit, and is pretending to be a knight, but is pretty much rogue at this point. Shows up. So there's all these different factions that are all trying to recover this power source that Ben Linus had injected into his neck. Right. And what was it called? Like a nuclear core of some sort. It was something that, you know, can essentially help rebuild the Earth.
Yeah.
So that happens. A lot of people die. Things get destroyed. You find out that Lucy's dad is 400 years old and 300 years old.
Yes.
And
was one of the, he was like this secretary or something for,
like an administrative assistant. Well, yes. Wife. Who was apparently also evil. It was actually her idea to drop the bombs, yes. Not Russia.
Yep.
All in the name of profit, yep. For Vault-Tec and these other, yep. Corporations that they were in cahoots with. So it left a lot of questions unanswered. At the end, you see the dad, Hank, traveling towards New Vegas. And
right.
Lucy and the ghoul are teaming up. And I don't remember what happened to Maximus. Is he with them? No, he's not with them.
No.
He was still storming the observatory that they were holed up at when they left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And back at the vault, her brother, did he climb into one of the pods?
In Vault 31? Yeah. I don't know that it ever showed that.
Yeah, but it kind of insinuated.
Well, the head, whatever that guy was,
yeah.
He was the annoying guy, if you didn't figure that out, from the flashbacks.
Right.
That worked with Cooper's wife. Anyway, yeah. He said, if I was you, I would just crawl into a pod. Or if I could, I would just crawl into a pod.
Right.
Because he was locked in there. So, I mean, if he wants to survive, he's going to have to until something happens.
Right. But. So I think he does. I think that's where we leave him off.
And Lucy is super horny. She's tired of fucking her cousins, which is just hilarious the way that plays out.
Okay. I haven't been listening.
But now you have my attention.
That just... Woo! What's going on here? What's happening?
Well, because she grew up in a vault that where...
As one does.
Where they've been living for the last 250 years or so. Mm-hmm. And she was secretly having sex with one of her cousins.
I don't know that it was a secret. She was pretty open about it.
It might not have been a secret. Yeah, I mean, it was just sort of like, you can have sex with your cousins because there's so few of you. So, you know, it's inevitable.
You just can't get pregnant.
Nope.
Fuck your cousin. Nothing. You just can't get pregnant.
Okay.
And you can't marry your cousin. So, she ends up, she's supposed to marry this other guy from Vault 32, but turns out they were just raiders pretending to be vault dwellers from Vault 32. They took over and they killed a bunch of people and then...
Okay, you've lost me again.
Yeah, it's not like a main part of the story at all. It's just something like she throws in there once in a while, which is what makes it funny, right? Like, oh, I can't wait to, you know... She's like, cousin stuff is okay, but you get tired of having sex with your cousins or something like that. So she was looking forward to, you know, having sex with the real person. And then out in the real world, like, she just randomly says to her traveling companion, you want to have sex?
Yeah.
Yes.
The squire.
And he's like, no, it'll make my dick explode. And it's just awkward and uncomfortable, but hilarious. So. True Fallout stuff.
I don't know. I was very impressed with the show. I just thought it was really good. Now, so people say that is canon, but not... it doesn't follow the story of any game, but it's like a whole different story within the universe.
So it's canon, but it's not Nick, if that makes sense.
It's not in his 14.
I don't know. So I've only played Fallout 3 in New Vegas and a small part of Fallout 4. So I don't know the backstory from 1 and 2. Like, the idea that Vault-Tec was the one that set off the bombs was not something I remember.
Okay.
But it might have been, you know, in one of the games. Like, I was pretty sure it wasn't Russia. Like, I remembered, like, knowing that much for sure. But yeah, the vaults generally were in groups of three, and I can't specifically speak about 31, 32, and 33. I don't remember those, but they all had different functions. So I'm guessing that round table or that boardroom talk that they had in episode 6 or 7, where you learn that Cooper's wife is pretty evil, and he does by listening in on her. Also, and all these other companies, like, so they've all set up their vaults in a certain way, which makes sense because when you explore vaults in the Fallout universe, they're all slightly different and they've all got some sort of weird quirk to them. So essentially they're all social experiments in one form or another.
Right.
And the dwellers have all been made to believe that their job is to repopulate the United States when the radiation levels get to a safe level where they can live on the surface safely. So,
right.
The vaults that haven't been completely overrun or destroyed or taken over, the people living in them are 220, 230 years down the road. They're not that old. Like, it's just generations have passed. Except, in this case, the people from Vault 31 were all from, like, the 1950s or 60s, whenever the bombs were originally dropped, because they were cryogenically frozen, because that was Vault-Tec's job. So, clearly, the wife is out there somewhere, and that's who Cooper is looking for.
Yeah, exactly. So she'll be a character next year, I'm sure.
And next season. I presume the daughter as well, I would think.
Oh, right. Yeah. He was such a good character, though. Man, he was so good. And the acting with his ghoul makeup on and everything still was great. You know what I mean? Like, his face was still so expressive in that makeup.
Yeah, and the way he uses his voice, his inflection and stuff is impressive.
The girl who
So it's a show that you can't take too seriously because of what it is, but it's also, like, very well done. Like, you feel like it could actually happen, even though it's so outrageous.
I don't know. There's a lot of smart social commentary and satire and political commentary in there. No,
definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it was really good. I think it definitely makes a good argument for video game adaptations not just following the exact story of the game. I think that works with The Last of Us because the story of The Last of Us is so intrinsic to what The Last of Us is, right? But the story of Fallout is much more open-ended. I think most games are that way. Most games, you know, Skyrim or Dark Souls, Bloodborne, like, all of them could be you could make a story in that universe, so you don't have to follow any specific story in those games.
I definitely would like
to see more adaptations kind of follow that.
You were
that
playing
model.
Skyrim when we met.
Yeah, I was, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. You walked in the room. Look at that. And I'm like, excuse me, I'm playing Skyrim. What are you doing here? Who are you? Get out of my living room.
You kicked Didn't you guys? My house.
Didn't you guys, like, play Journey together, or she watched you play Journey or something?
I played Journey. It was the first video game I ever played.
Yes.
Was Journey. Well, actually, the first video game I played was Bastion. And then I played...
Right.
And then I played Journey. And he made fun of me because going up the mountain...
You did. You...
I hugged the side... And I
she
lived.
She basically found a glitch. Like a,
I know, but, found, I found it. And you're like, she you made can't
it.
Do that.
Found a loophole.
She, but she did like, do you it. You can't do that. And I'm like, but I just did.
It's like a whole scene where you have to avoid these stone dragons. And you're supposed to like duck into these little huts every time they come near.
Yeah.
And she just was like, nah, fuck that. I'm just going to go up the left-hand side of this
Leroy wall. Jenkins.
And stay away from them. And it worked.
It worked.
It worked. They didn't play test that game enough. Anyway, all right. We could be done. An hour and a half of me blabbering about stuff.
Per usual.
Nobody cared about.
I cared about a good majority of it.
A good majority.
Great. That's funny. All right.
Well, I'm glad you guys got to see me. That was nice for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did we see you?
You know what I mean. Closest thing you get.
Yeah. All right.
And I hope you have a happy birthday tomorrow. Dan Jones.
Don't call me Dan.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate you calling me Dan.
Too bad. That's what I'm going to do it every now and then.
Just I wonder if Uncle Gary will text me happy birthday. Probably
that
not.
Would be nice. That would be nice.
That would be nice.
Not until like October
not to
or
Becky's
something,
birthday.
Right?
What if Becky just shows up on your doorstep tomorrow and, like with this like bouquet of flowers and these teary eyes and she's like, you, it's always been you. And now that you're 40, I have to confess my love to you. And I
it's
really
gonna be
am,
a problem.
I'm really Uncle Gary, and I saw you at Costco in 2007, and I've been obsessed with you ever since. I'm sorry.
Well,
I mean,
you open to a sister wife, babe?
No. Nope. As I told you last night when we watched Seeking Sister Wives... That I would not do well in a sister wife role.
Yeah.
I would be very jealous.
Too bad.
I know, so sorry for you.
Alright. Now I'm yawning, so she's gonna yell at
I
me.
I have to go put the old man to bed.
Yeah, you better do that. Make sure he has his head elevated so his whatever they call that, his so he doesn't get like heartburn or whatever.
His GERD.
Yes, his GERD doesn't act up.
His GERD doesn't act up.
So his GERD doesn't lead to gout.
Yeah. Should I put a commode near the bed so you don't have to go all the way to the bathroom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Better measure his output too, just to make sure that he's not retaining water.
Exactly.
Give me a sponge bath.
That's asking
you
a lot.
You are a dirty old man.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you for checking in with us, and I guess we'll see you later. Have fun at soccer. Well,
oh, yeah.
Have fun at baseball.
Yeah.
I will. It's going to be nice out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And games start next Tuesday.
So okay. Can't wait to hear all about that.
We're not going to have a good team this year, but that's okay. We, so... With my girls play on the 8U underhand coach pitch team league.
Yeah.
And last year we had a lot of 8-year-olds that moved on. And so we have 13 kids, I think.
We went to the draft.
Well, yeah, we did get a few new kids, but like most of the ones that came back, like, are girls, which I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, but we have, I think, 9 girls and 4 boys, and we do have one 8-year-old boy, 2 8-year-old boys, and like most of our players are 6, the girls and the boys. Oh, there's not a whole lot in between, so we'll be all right, just not you know, like we were the last 2 years, which is fine.
So you're saying boys are better than girls?
I'm saying when you have a team full of 8-year-old boys playing against other teams that are full of 6-year-old girls, yes, Daniel. I'm saying there is a a level there that's hard to compete with for some of the other teams. And now suddenly we're that other team, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha. All
right. You never know. Quinn had her first practice Wednesday, and we were there, and we thought, oh, this is going to be rough. And then they won 5-0 on Saturday.
So. No, we're going to win some games. We're just not going to go undefeated and all that nonsense.
Right.
Autumn is actually much improved over last year. Angela hasn't been able to play yet because of her thumb.
Right.
And Ellie, it's her first year. She played T-ball last year, but this is her first year on this team. And she's excited and eager, and she's naturally fairly skilled, but she's still got a lot to learn. But you can kind of tell the coach is excited about her because he's, you know, spending a little extra time on her and kind of being harder on her than some of the other kids in a good way, like not in a bad way. So I expect by the middle of the season, she'll be pretty good. I mean, she's already good for 6 years old and whatnot. Anyway,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, can't wait to hear all about it. We'll have to podcast it again more consistently.
We might have to find some alternate times over the next 6 weeks, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yep. We will. All right.
I mean, games will be over by 7:30, I would imagine, but that's still pretty late.
Yeah, that's pretty late for us.
All right.
It's 9:30 here. Yeah, that wouldn't work.
Guten Nacht.
Good night. All
right. Good night. Bye. See ya.